Have you ever been locked out of your house? You know that terrible feeling? It just happens like in a second, and you're like, oh no. And then you think, how am I going to get back in? That's the next question. Most of us have also locked our keys in the car at some point and had to call a family member to come help us out of our embarrassing situation. I'm thankful that many of the modern technological cars will not allow you to lock your keys inside. I'm so happy that my husband has one of those cars, because he holds a record for locking out himself from the car. It beeps, his car beeps a warning to remind you to get your keys. And the cars have become smarter than we are. Can you imagine, though, being locked out of your church? One Sunday morning, you come to worship as usual, and the doors are locked, and you can't get inside. You would be indignant. How dare they lock me out of the church? How could this happen? You see, locks can be protective and offer us safety, but they also can be exclusive and keep people out. Now, I know that the outside world can be dangerous, but even locks are not all powerful. I heard a woman describe on TV this week, when the tornado hit her house, she said it blew away the front door in a second. And she mentioned, my front door was a deadbolt lock, and the wind was more powerful than a deadbolt lock. We put our trust in locks, but there are forces way more powerful than locks. The disciples were hiding behind locked doors. They were very afraid that the authorities who had executed Jesus were going to come for them, to arrest them, and then to put them to death. You can't blame the disciples for being afraid after all that had happened to their beloved Jesus. However, even deadbolt locks could not keep the resurrected Jesus from joining them on that first Easter Sunday evening. Notice the text did not say that Jesus knocked on the door and they opened it for him and he came inside. It doesn't say that. It says Jesus came behind those locked doors and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Jesus knew they were upset, afraid, grieving, and he wanted to comfort them. Wouldn't it be wonderful every time we pray if we took this image of Jesus standing before us and saying to us, peace be with you. My peace I give to you. Jesus doesn't come to us with condemnation in his heart. He comes to us and the disciples in peace and love. We can choose to receive that peace when Jesus comes inside of us. The kind of peace that allowed him to sleep in the middle of a raging storm when he was in a small boat with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee. When the storms in our lives are raging, we can choose to receive the peace of Jesus that he offers. We don't have to go into a panic mode or create drama, or escalate conflict and chaos around us. God can give us the peace that passes all understanding if we allow God to help us. Jesus showed them his hands with the nail scars and his side that had been pierced with the sword of a soldier. They knew beyond any doubt that truly it was Jesus. And they rejoiced. And Jesus repeated again, a second time, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. I'm sure the disciples loved to hear Jesus give them peace. However, the second part of his message was bound to trouble them. They were praying together. That message was pushing them beyond the locked doors where they were comfortable. They knew each other. They were church family together. They had been through 3 years of ministry with Jesus to the people of Judea, Galilee, and even Samaria. It was easy for them to hang out together in a room behind locked doors. But Jesus came to push them beyond the doors. He was going to send them out into a dangerous world to be his witnesses, to preach the message of God's love and redemption. Jesus had been training them and preparing them for 3 years, and now it was time to go to accomplish the mission that God had for them to do. Jesus wasn't sending them out only armed with their own strength and wisdom. He gave them an important gift. He breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Spirit. They would be sent by Jesus on their mission to offer salvation to the world in Christ's name, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts on Pentecost Day, the Holy Spirit came as a strong, violent wind. In my opinion, the Holy Spirit is a way more powerful force than even a tornado or a hurricane. Remember the day that Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him so gently as a dove. The Holy Spirit can blow into people's hearts and change their lives forever. The Holy Spirit can remove the locks that hold people in bondage and captivity when they may not be able to live life alone. God can open doors, open our minds, open our hearts to love and to show compassion in greater quantities than we ever dreamed possible. We can welcome people in Christ's name who are totally different from who we may be. The disciples, I'm sure, had no idea that they would be traveling all over the world, teaching people the commandments of Jesus, baptizing them in his name. They also didn't know yet that they were going to suffer, that they would be beaten, thrown in prison, sacrificed, time away from their families, and still, in spite of it all, be able to rejoice in the Lord, to pray and sing and worship God, even in prison. They would worship God with other Christians in the most terrible of circumstances. You see, there are no locks in this world that can keep God out. And it's clear from Jesus' command to the disciples that God does not expect the church to live and thrive behind locked doors. We are sent by God, just like those first disciples, out into a dangerous world to proclaim the good news of Christ's love and redemption. We proclaim that message by the way that we live for God, the way that we love others, and by our own testimonies of what Jesus means to us. The Holy Spirit led the disciples down dusty roads to an Ethiopian in a chariot, this powerful man from Egypt. God led them by the river to meet Lydia and start a church by the river. Onto lakes, the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea. Into strange lands with people who spoke different languages and had different lifestyles and varied customs. The Holy Spirit led the disciples to serve as Jesus had served. The disciples, which includes us, are to be sent by God to the nursing homes, to the hospitals, the schools, the child care centers, the prisons, the street corners, the neighborhood where you live, and to other people in far-off places like Mexico, like Cambodia, like Russia, like Cuba. These countries, Louisiana Methodists, have had a partnership and mission for many, many years now, and we're making a difference because it's a long-term partnership. Our church buildings are to be used for the glory of God by serving our communities. God doesn't want church buildings that have locked doors Monday through Saturday, and the only day they're open is on Sunday. It's sad that so many churches in Louisiana are in that condition. The only time they open the door is on a Sunday. Churches are to be places where Mother's Day Out ministries teach children social skills and how to love others beyond their own family. Churches are to be places where little lunch bags, we call them manna bags at Belle Chasse, and food banks are supplied with food to give to the hungry. Churches are to be places of peace and prayer where every person is welcome when they come through those open doors. We are to be places where children and adults are taught the Word of God and the will of God in Bible studies, small groups, and vacation Bible school. Churches are to be our home base, but we are sent out to serve by going to do disaster relief and recovery work. With all the tornadoes and hurricanes we've had in the last few years, the need is so great. Even in Louisiana, I know people that are still struggling to get their homes back from floodwaters. And if there's any way that you have skills that you can volunteer with other Methodists, other Christians, to help some of these people, the need is great. We can go do construction work and medical work in poor communities that need help, partnering with Common Ground Health Clinic. We can go in our own hometown, and we can go to other parts of the world. Jesus commands us to go, not just to sit in a comfortable pew, but to go to Jerusalem, which means our neighborhood, our city, Judea, which means our home state, Samaria, that means our neighboring state, and then Jesus doesn't leave anybody out, to the uttermost parts of the earth. That includes our country and foreign countries. You see, Jesus loves the whole world, not just parts and pieces. And he loves all of the people in the world, not just some. There have been so many times in my life as a Christian that I felt I could not do what God was asking me to do. I have prayed a million times, just like Joshua's prayer, God, please give me the strength to do what you want me to do. And through the powerful presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit, God has provided over and over. Jeff and I have been in ministry, if you count college, over 40 years. The very first time I went into a prison was in Charleston, South Carolina. Our college had a puppet ministry, and we were asked to go and share some skits, to sing some songs, and to give our testimonies as Christians. I will never forget those big blue metal doors clanging shut after we walked in. I was scared, but I was with a group of Christians. Together we were following Jesus' command to go. The locked doors did not keep us away from going into the city prison. Since then, I have become much braver. I have gone into prisons in South Carolina, Florida, Kentucky, and Louisiana. I was counting how many prisons, and I lost count. I think it's been over 15 different prisons. And I usually come away from there more blessed than the people that I went to visit or to serve. The only time I really got scared, Jeff and I were doing worship services on Sunday night in St. Mary Parish near Morgan City. And one of my church members was a guard there, and he told me that the week before the lights had gone out. That's the only time I really was thinking, what if I'm there and the lights go out and they lose electricity? I had never thought about that before, but you know what? It's never happened to me, and I'm thankful for that. But I always felt, you know, coming in the name of Christ, that even if the lights went out, I don't think I would be harmed. I really don't believe I would be. And if I were to be harmed, I would say, just like the disciples, give glory to God. I hope my life counts as a witness. You see, God can move us beyond locked doors and behind locked doors to share with other people His love and Christ's message of forgiveness and salvation. Jeff and I have ministered with the elderly, the poor, inner city children and youth, the blind, college students, the homeless, migrant workers, international students and families, inmates, disaster victims and survivors after Katrina, teaching English to Hispanic Latinos. We've ministered to Native Americans here in Louisiana, to the sick in the hospital, and many, many people in typical American churches. All of it has been a blessing to me in the name of Christ. I can't even count the number of times that we have moved over four different states. But God has been with us every step of our journey. Has it been easy? No. But God is always faithful, even when we are not. It's true that it's safer to stay behind locked doors, but Jesus calls us beyond that, beyond our comfort zones. I'm so thankful that Jesus called me into God's service, and I hope that you hear God calling you by name, sending you forth to serve God in whatever way that God has for you to serve. And to whomever God puts in your path to love and to serve. Believe me, it is worth it, and we can rejoice in the Lord when God calls us. We have a woman who came to the church, I think she's been in our church now 2 years, in Belchase, and she has never been anywhere out of the country. I don't even know if she's been many times out of Louisiana, but she is going with the Mexico mission team this June, and I am so excited for her. I baptized her. She had never been baptized. I baptized her as an adult, and she is growing in her faith. And I am so excited that she's stepping out of her comfort zone in Belchase, and she's going to Mexico with our mission team. So you never know what God can do in your life when you're open to the Holy Spirit.